The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're in the Delaware Valley. Welcome to the Lawyers of Pond, the Hockey Show, sponsored by Weinemann Pain and Wellness. Got a fantastic show. In-house, we have Alexis Crandall from Weinemann. How are you, Alexis?
I'm great. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. Almost wasn't a happy Monday, as you and I were just talking.
I know.
I'm going to bring in Frank Ciprero. Frank, how are you, sir? Frank?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, my friend. Little technical difficulties here.
How are you doing, Alexis?
Hey, Frank. Good. How are you?
Good.
Well, Frank called me this morning. I didn't get his message, but he was starting a petition to give Nick Sirianni an extension, Frank. I'm a little bit shocked at that because, you know, he embarrassed himself and imploded on national TV. And if the Kobe Dean doesn't make that interception, he's potentially getting fired before he hits the locker room. But we can only hope. Talk about that.
No question. He should have been fired the second that game was over.
Yep.
I mean, look what happened in the Rams-Seattle game. That could have gone that way.
I mean,
you know,
yeah, I have you ever in your entire life, I mean, and when I say that, little league football, okay? I mean, any circumstance whatsoever, I can remember one time where I saw something similar in even a more extreme situation. But if you would, I mean, just elaborate on that, Frank. The guy literally put his team, who whipped the crap out of Jacksonville, in a position to lose.
Right. He left, what, 9 points on
yep.
the field, maybe?
Yeah.
You never, I don't care what your coaching background is or how much experience you have, you never take points off the scoreboard. That's insane.
Well, let's think about it for a second. Our kicker is not kicking real well because he don't remember the last time he was on the field. Mm-hmm. We are kicking when we should be punting. Okay.
Yep.
And we're taking points off the board. Now, at the end of the game, Sirianni, and by the way, we've got a great show today. We have a Spark in the Dream special. We have Denise Magasich calling in from our public school system. And Spark in the Dream is an opportunity for our students around the city to learn a little bit about the career pathways of our professionals on the program. Frank Ciprero from partner at Pond the Hockey Law Firm and Alexis Crandall, who is the marketing director over at Weinemann Pain and Wellness. Okay, certainly when we talk about professionals, we're going to stay away from the Nick Sirianni situation because he's putting together a recipe for being unprecedented in ways to get fired. One thing I have not heard anyone say, because Nick's talking about the analytics, you know, like he's getting that, you know, he's talking about that, you know, the history of the tush push and why he's doing, he's getting all this. Frank, one thing I have not heard anywhere, and Jaws was on the post game show and they were sugarcoating it. Barkan, on the other hand, you know, started off talking about, you know, the Eagles, the players put themselves in a position to win and the coach home, and they kind of piled on him. And I think that was ridiculous, okay? Absolutely ridiculous. Because all over social media today, everybody wants Sirianni's head. And the real problem is he's not showing any tendency to slow this behavior down. He's going to cost us the year. But one thing I haven't heard one, and maybe you've heard it, Frank, and maybe you've heard it, Alexis. Alexis was calling me during the game and I mean, cursing like a truck driver. It was nuts. I had to get off the phone as an iron worker in the union for 20 years out in the field. I was offended so I mean, she's under control.
I couldn't handle myself.
Yeah, you couldn't handle yourself. Anyway, here's the one thing I have not heard. Nick Sirianni's talking about the analytics. Okay. But one thing nobody mentioned was that, I'm wondering if those analytics include Jordan Mailata not being in there or Dallas Goedert. And let's throw Kelce in there as well because he's no longer there. Okay? He's got half an offensive line, and he's talking about analytics. It's a joke.
I agree with you. That's nonsense. Kelce was a huge part of that. and having Mailata and other guys out, all you're going to end up doing is getting hurt, or a lineman hurt.
Oh, yeah.
It's not worse. It's not working like it was, and it's not – since Kelsey, it's not working like it was. And you have other guys out, all you're going to end up doing is getting these guys hurt. You take the points, keep the points, and play ball. I just don't understand it.
If he would have brought his kids into that damn press conference afterwards,
I was waiting for it.
I was going,
right?
Oh, my God. Alexis, what did you say to me last night? I'll personally go down there and kick the living crap out of him.
Let's not say that on air, Joe. Come on.
I know. I'm out.
You can't
right.
blow my cover.
I'm out.
That sounds like Alexis.
Yeah. It is.
Sounds just like me, right?
I said I had to call her family and say, get there. I don't know what she's going to do. But lucky for Alexis, not only did she calm down, had she driven down there and kicked the crap out of him, the traffic would have been ungodly. She would never got near him because the line to do that.
Yeah.
Right. He's in hundreds in line. But I tell you what, though, it's awesome to see on every news channel, every social media, Saquon's run.
I was just going to bring him up. He is incredible. Well,
Frank, I said
that
this.
That is insane.
I said it to my
That's
wife.
That's like when you used to play running back.
Well, I was going to say that. There's only a couple of us that could do that. I'm not saying I could do it now. Because if you said to me, what do you think you'd do right now? I'd say probably rush for 100 yards a game, you know, against some of the bad teams, right? But I'm 60 years old. I mean, let's be real. I don't have what I used to have. But the truth is, Frank, when he did that, I said to my wife, the absolute greatest move I've ever seen in the history of my existence, and I've been watching at levels of football, like, and guess what was a beautiful thing?
I agree.
So many of the announcers said it was the greatest move they'd ever seen in their entire life.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, that will hands down probably be in not only in contention for the play of the year, but I don't know, in the ESPYs or whatever it is. I don't know what could possibly top that. That was insane. That was amazing to watch. And I wonder how – I meant to check the stat on that player that ran right under him, how tall that guy was. I mean, he was at least 6 foot, right?
Yeah,
and
he definitely was.
Completely cleared that, no problem, backwards, and was still looking where he was going to land to get more yards. That's so amazing.
Oh, I've never seen anything like it. Great to see N'Kobe Dean, really, not just because of the interception, but he's running to the ball. That guy, Zach Baum, oh, my God. I mean – So many good things happened, and I have never seen on any level, and I am ticked off, but I have never seen on any level, okay, a coach put their team in that position to lose a game where they should have been up three touchdowns easy. Have you ever seen
easily.
It?
Right,
it's like he bet. It's like he bet on the game and was throwing it. It was insane.
I've never seen, you know, when he didn't go for that field goal. I mean, doesn't, you know, every time he's done it this year, it's
almost
been
like he wants to lose. It's so weird.
Well,
like he's like, I just don't understand it. We should have easily dominated that game. And we were all on the edges of our seats till the end of the game. And it's like, I just can't even.
One human being.
I don't
being.
Even have words.
But you know what's interesting about the whole thing, and I know we're gonna bring in the students fairly soon. Them players, okay, and those fans down there, and the owners and all that are paying all the money to their players and all that, they didn't deserve it. Like, he can't be trusted with an NFL franchise. Mm-hmm. I didn't like it a few weeks back. Okay, and I haven't, like, you know, when they on ESPN when they trashed him, the one guy was calling him a clown show, and so I didn't really like it because I'm like, you know, even though it was true, and it was arguing with the fans and all that stuff, but at this point, you know, yesterday, and I was kind of sticking up for him, you know, but yesterday he should be fired today. I absolutely agree. He's a detriment to the team. We should have never been in that position. Okay, I'm not kidding you when I say this. I was actually, if God called me during the game, okay, and he said, here's the situation, okay, and I got this from Alexis. This is not me talking,
yeah.
Okay? If he said to me, listen, Joe, here's the way we're going to roll with this. We're going to lose this game, but this clown's out of there. Okay. Or we can win it and we're going to, and the same habits are going to happen down the road, except it's going to be a massive game and we're going to lose it all because this clown ain't showing no time. I would have taken the L, bro.
I agree, because
if he continues this behavior,
he's going to, though. That's the problem.
He is.
Yeah.
He's out there, and he can't be trusted with an NFL franchise. I'm wondering what Howie and Jeffrey Lurie are saying right now. I'd have him in that office and say, listen, here's the situation here, buddy. You do that again, I'm going to fire you on the spot. You'll be an example. You'll never get a job again. You're out there flipping coins on what the decision is. And we got too many players, hardworking people and the fans and watching at home for you to sit there and absolutely ruin everything. And so it's just a disgrace, man. And so, you know, were you as upset as I was, Frank?
You know what? I mean, anytime when you're in field goal range, you take the points, especially if you're up. And that drives me absolutely nuts. I always say take the points. And then you run like a fourth and one and you make it. Okay, it was great. But I would prefer to just guarantee get the points and just play ball. I hate that move.
Hey, you know what's
funny? I agree. He should be fired immediately.
Absolutely. And so many great performances. I mean, Devontae Smith touchdown, man, that got him off the hook. Uh-huh.
He doesn't miss anything. I love that guy. And he doesn't mind going into traffic either.
He's my favorite.
Oh, exactly.
He's not big, but he's so reminds me of like the opposite of DeSean Jackson. Because that guy was good for like 2-3 games until he got hurt. But Devontae just, he's not big, but he goes in traffic and
he's so talented.
Doesn't miss anything.
Yeah, you're talking about a former Heisman Trophy winner, but him and Saquon's touchdown also, okay, like that reception and Hurts was really, you know, getting the stuff. To me, it looked like Hurts was ticked off after that game, like in that room, like, you know, he must be sitting here going, our own head coach is putting us in a position to lose a game. Okay,
yeah.
And it was all about him. You could tell it couldn't have been about anybody else. Just a disgrace.
What's the word on AJ on his knee? Did you hear?
I did not. Hopefully he was walking fine. I mean, you know, we need, obviously, I'll tell you one thing I didn't realize. Okay. I don't know. Did you realize this? The kid from Penn State, what's his name? The kid who made the good catch, the slot back, you know, the slot receiver.
I know what you mean.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's not a surprise you don't know who I'm talking about because before yesterday, and this is a first-round draft choice, he had 35 yards receiving, and he's a starter. Oh, my God.
Right.
It's just bizarre,
but
man.
It's crazy when you have two guys like that. I mean, you know, we were just talking how tough Devontae is. I mean, AJ, this guy's a beast.
Exactly. All right, well, listen, let's do this. And I agree with you. There's only been a few running backs of that level. I was thinking about sending in my film from Monsignor Bonner. You know, I made a couple plays like that. I mean, you know, I'm not
in your highlight reel.
Oh,
yeah. No, quite. I never give up on a dream, man. Never give up on it. And I don't get that from me. Alexa says to me, because she watches them a lot. Joe, you gotta throw your hat back in there. You know what I mean? All right, let's do this.
Every night before I go to bed.
Yeah. She sends
that
me a text.
Runs downhill.
Hold on.
She sends me a text.
She goes, you can do it. Did you find that Cardinal O'Hara film? All right, listen, let's do this. We're done vetting, okay, and venting. And, you know, yesterday was a disgrace. Let's get the opportunity to meet some solid human beings that are gone places where Nick Sirianni's gone backwards. We're going to have more from the Lawyers of Ponla Hockey Show in just a minute.
Battles aren't won solely on the field. That's a common misconception. Battles are won within, over enemies of fear, enemies of doubt. In that place where promises are kept, Promises to oneself.
This is a physical training event.
Promises to one's community.
Healthy people move debris out of their house.
Promises to one's country. In the heart of every Marine, you'll find a promise. A promise forever kept. A promise of battles won.
Hello there, this is Nat King Cole, wishing you all a happy and a Merry Christmas.
The joy of living is in the giving. So let's give lots of toys for tots. Toys, toys, toys for tots. Some have too many, some haven't any. If those who have, give those who haven't. Oh, what a Christmas day. The Marine Reserve will help you, will help you fill your sleigh with lots and lots of toys for tots. So give a little toy today.
Since 1947, the United States Marine Corps has been helping Santa fill his sleigh, making happier holidays for deserving children right in your community. Go to toysfortots.org and learn how you can make a difference.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, around the Delaware Valley, welcome back to the Lawyers of Pond La Hockey Show. This is Spark in a Dream special. We're sponsored by Weinemann Pain and Wellness. Frank Saprero, partner at the Pond La Hockey, is on the line. And, of course, Alexis Crandall, who is the marketing director at Weinemann Pain and Wellness, in the house. And, of course, a shout-out to Tyler, who is our producer. On the line, we have a great friend and somebody who is no stranger to the broadcast, Denise Magasic. Denise, how are you?
I'm excellent, Joe. How are you doing today?
I'm fantastic. Now, we are doing this remotely, our Spark in a Dream special, and there's only one reason we're doing that, because there's no way I can handle Denise putting up her cue cards in the room and bossing me around. So I said, you know what? Wait a minute. I'm getting a text right now. I got a bunch of texts.
I texted you some cue cards, Jeff.
I know you found a way to get me, and I'm pretty sure I can read them. But we do. We have a really cool segment. Denise does a fantastic job with putting the programs together and the career pathways. If you would, Denise, introduce and remind our listeners a little bit about yourself and what you do at the Philadelphia Public School System.
Absolutely. Thanks, Joe. So I work for the Office of CTE. I'm the Business IDS, Industry Developmental Specialist. And I know you're going to ask me, Joe, so I'm going to just tell you what CTE stands for. It actually stands for Career and Technical Education. And we're here today at Lincoln High School. And Lincoln High School is pretty unique because they have different academies. And I'm sitting with two students. They're juniors, class of 2026.
Nice.
Give it up. And they, yeah. And they're in the Professional Service Academy, and they're actually in the law pathway.
Wow. Mm. That's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I can tell you.
Absolutely.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. I'm excited to introduce you to them and, get them on the air and talking to our attorneys and see where that's going to take us.
Very cool, and our students now can they hear me now, or do we have to give them the phone? What type of connection do we have?
Nope, they hear you right now. So we have Sage Jackson and Sean Rodnax, and both are juniors here at Abraham Lincoln High School.
Fantastic, Sage and Sean, welcome to the broadcast.
What's up?
It's a pleasure to have you on. Look forward to. Have you ever had the opportunity to be on one of our Spark of the Dream specials?
No, sorry.
Okay, this is a warm up for when we bring you in the station. Normally, we have the new students sing the national anthem, but today, since you're calling,
I'll take it over today.
We're going to give you a break. I want to introduce you to our professionals also. As we welcome Sage and Sean on the broadcast, Frank Saprero, we're a partner at one of the most prestigious law firms in the country, really, upon the hockey. Frank, if you would introduce yourself to the students and tell them a little bit about what you do and your role at Palm the Hockey.
Absolutely. Thank you, Joe. And thanks, Denise and Sage and Sean, for making time today to come on the show. As you probably know from being in the area, Palm Lee Hockey, we're the largest workers' compensation social security disability firm in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. But we obviously handle all of your legal needs. We handle cases from start to finish. We talk about this all the time on the show, but we try to treat cases from a holistic standpoint, and we, you know, have a very close relationship with not only our client but with their family. And we sit down and we have individual basically care that we take with them, and you know, we find out what's best for our clients, what they want, and you know, we tailor our services that way to make sure that we handle every one of their needs, including medical. And I know Alexis is here, and it's extremely important that we get our clients to good medical providers, good doctors, good physical therapists, good pain management, et cetera. Because in cases where you have an injured worker, when the insurance company denies their claim and they need help, the probably, aside from having a specialist in workers' compensation law, which we are, the other most important thing is controlling the medical and making sure that your client gets the treatment that he or she needs. So it's an extremely important relationship that we have with medical providers. That's what we do for every client we represent. And that's probably why, not certainly why, we're the biggest and most successful workers' compensation law firm in Pennsylvania.
And Frank, if you will, what your pathway? Okay, did you know you wanted to be a lawyer? When did you know you wanted to be a lawyer?
That's a great question. I heard you mention, or I think Denise mentioned, that the Sage and Sean, or one or both, are kind of on the law track, and we can certainly talk about that. I was actually pre-med until my my junior year in college. I wasn't sure, but I was planning on. I had a few knee operations. My old path is similar to what Joe talks about. I was all about football, and as I, you know, had two and then a third operation in college, I realized that wasn't any kind of viable path. And I was always most interested in sciences, and because I'd undergone a few operations, I was really interested in orthopedic surgery. So that was kind of my plan. But I minored in political science, and as time went on in college, I became more and more interested in the law. So when it came down to my last year, it was almost a coin toss, but I think I was leaning a little bit more towards the law, and I ended up taking the LSATs as opposed to the MCATs. And I'm obviously extremely happy that I did, because what I do and what we do at Palm Lee Hockey is we're able to level the playing field and provide people with attorneys that they could never otherwise afford, because we don't charge anything to handle the claim. And I'm sure Joe will talk about our fee, you know, the contingent fee agreement, which allows us to jump in and represent injured workers and clients in that respect without any cost to them. So we're able to, because the insurance company has endless time, endless money, endless attorneys to not pay you or to deny your claim. So we're immediately able to go in and level the playing field. And that's what gives me the most joy every day, is that I can fight for someone who is unable to fight for themselves.
And let me ask, bring Alexis into the program. Alexis, if you would, introduce yourself to the students a little bit about Weinerman Pain and Wellness and you know, what you do there.
Hi, yeah. So my name's Alexis Crandall. First of all, I want to thank Denise for bringing the two students on. I am a director of marketing for, like Frank was talking about, a medical practice that specializes in, we specialize in cases that are represented by lawyers like Frank himself. So we handle personal injury cases, motor vehicle accidents, and workers' comp cases. We have Dr. Weinerman, who's been in practice for over 40 years. And then we have a team of chiropractors, physical therapists, pain management doctor, and now we have a psychologist on board as well. So we have a team of specialists that help get clients of Frank's and other lawyers hoping to feel, you know, somewhat better, like where they were prior to their injury. But yeah, we handle all of that, and it's kind of
about what is your role there?
I'm the director of marketing.
And what does that entail?
Yeah, so I am the main contact of the practice, basically. So I work with all of the lawyers and specialty doctors that we handle, that we deal with, and I am basically the face of the practice. So anything that you ever need for the practice comes directly to me via email or phone call, and I help the lawyers, clients, and patients, honestly, get whatever they need.
You didn't start your career in the medical field,
no.
Correct? Talk about your career path, okay? Because you never really, just because you start in one place doesn't mean that, you're going to end up there. Where did you, first of all, about your college experience?
Yeah, so I went to Westchester University. I always thought I was going to be like a sports broadcaster, honestly. That was like my, my dream. And then getting into it, I kind of learned that the schooling really wasn't what I wanted to do, honestly. So my one professor was like, you should do marketing. You're super personable. You have a great personality. I know.
That's debatable, but go ahead.
And you should do something with sales and marketing. So I started working for like a it was more like it was a guest services role for like a builder. And then from there, I landed the role with Marriott. So I'm sure everybody is familiar with Marriott. I was there with them for almost 4 years. So I started just as like a guest services sales rep. And then I worked my way all the way up to a sales director of marketing. And then I was approached by Weinerman less than a year ago, and now I have the director role. So
fantastic.
Moving up the ladder.
And so let me bring in Sage Jackson. Sage, welcome again to the broadcast. A little bit about yourself. What got you into the business pathways, the legal program?
So my dream job is to be a homicide detective, so I thought that taking law classes would help achieve that goal and look good for a college application.
That's a good answer. That is a very good answer. And when you talk about that career path, what got you interested in that direction?
I honestly like to help people, and I thought that being a homicide detective would help people that have missing families and stuff like that, because I understand how that is. So I just, from personal experience, I just wanted to give back to the community, honestly, in a way that I would personally like.
Fantastic. And Sean, if you would, a little bit about what brought you into the career pathways and the legal direction.
Mostly when I first started, I wasn't really that interested about it. Mostly I was actually interested in taking an accounting class, but I couldn't really get in it. Got really full. A lot of people were doing it. So I took law instead. And as I was going through it, it got more and more like in my mind. It was really interesting. And so I was like, okay, I'm just going to go with it. Why not? Mostly did it for the credit. I don't plan on going to college, honestly. I don't know how much I'm going to follow through with the law pathway, but hopefully, I keep interest and.
What do you think your career pathway is going to be? Do you have any idea?
Not really. Still like really looking around, trying to. I'm really trying. It's just really weird. My interests go from one place to another. It's just.
And Sean is a junior right now, so I mean he's got a little bit of time.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Why this Sparking the Dream program is so interesting, because he can hear and talk to executives and people that are in the industry about what your pathway was. And it's interesting that neither one of you really started with the experts really started with law in mind or in your current field in mind. But, you know, here we are. And I think Sean's feeling now that, you know, a direction is going to come at some point. Yeah.
And I was just going to say that one of the, you know, it's almost, I wouldn't even say almost, it's, you know, unfair to pin somebody down at as a junior in high school. So Sean, I was just going to say, you know, don't feel like, you know, that's, you know, weird or anything like that. I think that a lot of the things that you're taking great courses, and you're being exposed to a lot of situations. By the way, college is awesome. It does a fantastic job for a lot of people, and other people take different career paths. And so I wouldn't put too much pressure on yourself, and you know, to know tomorrow what you want to be. You know what I always say, and I'll ask the professionals to elaborate. But if you're doing the best that you can, and you put that work ethic in what you're doing, success is imminent. And at your age right now, I mean, my God, you have plenty of time, you know, to pick what you want to do. If you're successful, okay, if you study and you got, you know, good grades, and even if your good grades aren't where you want them yet, if you put your mind to it, anything's possible. Frank Sapero, talk a little bit about that, because, you know, I equate a lot of times with lawyers or doctors or any professionals or, you know, anybody who maybe started off in one direction and went another. Talk about, you know, that and how often it happens.
I think it happens more often than not. Mm-hmm. I know Denise mentioned that neither Alexis nor I were thinking about where we actually ended up. I was always interested in the law, and I actually, something Sage had mentioned, I actually looked into potentially FBI and law enforcement as a path while I was in law school. So that was something I was always interested in as well. But, you know, you have, especially being juniors, you have plenty of time. And like Joe said, you know, college isn't the correct path for a lot of people. For many people it is, but you just have to find out, you know, what your passion is, what drives you, and, you know, kind of follow that interest. And one thing I always tell, my son is a sophomore in high school. And one thing I always tell him is that, you know, one subject may be stronger for him than another, or someone in his math class may have a more, you know, it may come more naturally to them. But I always tell him that, and this is something that I always would try to strive for, in that the one thing you can control is that you can control the fact that you can outwork everyone in that class. That's the one thing that someone may, you can apply that in sports as well, you know, or any aspect of life. Someone may have more natural physical talent than you, or ability, or someone may, like we said before, math may come more easily to someone, but you can level that playing field because you can outwork that person. And that's the one thing that's 100% within your control. And I think if you have that attitude and you take that attitude with you and apply that in whatever area you happen to be in, that's going to serve you well. And that will allow you to kind of begin to gravitate for what is the best fit for you.
I'd like to ask the students a little bit about, you know, what are your hobbies? Okay, and I'll go with Sean first. What are the things you like to do after school?
Go home, play video games. I'm really passionate about those. I really don't really go out much, if I'm being honest. But yeah, that's kind of I just play video games a lot. I really don't do a lot.
Well, let me just say this. You know, with your school experience, okay, and you know, some of the things that are, down the road. What is your definition of success? In other words, you know, have you thought about some of the things? And by the way, you know, right now you're a young person, so it's not important. But what do you see as success? Maybe not now, but you know, down the road.
happiness, being able to share your experience with other people, being able to like be around other people of your similar, you know, passions, and just being able to be happy all the time.
And let me, and I think that, you know, that the definition of those things, all right, when you talk about happiness and all those things, Sage, talk about your, you know, your definition of success.
I believe that it's being where I want to be and in just a good financial state, good mental state, good physical state, and being alive for one more day, honestly.
And you know, certainly you talk about, you know, what goes on every day, okay, with young people. Talk about the challenges, okay, that young people, you know, your age. I mean, you know, as our age, you know, you one of the things we love about these broadcasts is we get the opportunity to, you know, meet individuals like yourself. And but you know, we only know what we read in the paper. Talk about what it's like to be 16 years old in today's world. What the challenges, what the peer pressure, what a lot of the things that go on. You know, out in the streets, you mentioned being alive for one more day, Sage. Talk about that.
Well, I believe in God, so I believe that if he wanted to, he could take me at any moment. So you just have to be thankful every morning that you're breathing and walking. But peer pressure-wise, I haven't really experienced that. I know that a lot of people do. I think that technology is a big thing, and just depression and the mental state of students is such a like, it's such an overcoming thing that most of them, like, our grades and the attendance, like, you just don't have the willpower. So I think it's really just the mental aspect of life because you're still growing, still developing. And I think that most of the time people are shoving either alcohol or drugs and stuff like that in your face. So it's just, honestly, just the mental aspects and what people want you to do and the expectations that you really don't have for yourself yet.
Well, and let me ask Sean, talk about peer pressure, you know, at your age, like Sage said, you know, there's a tendency to want to follow, you know, or be accepted by, you know, a specific crowd. How do you avoid that?
I never experienced any peer pressure, but as far as being in or being where you want to be in a right crowd, it's like I'm in my own space. I don't go anywhere just to be accepted by other people because I know that I'm good where I am.
And it's funny you say that because I really believe, so it was a tendency for young people, you know, to want to be accepted and follow the crowd. There's an independence about not falling into those categories. Let's do this. There's a, Frank, when, you know, a lot, you know, you spend a lot of time in court, right?
Every day.
Okay. And you talk about, there's a, I believe there's a, you know, when with the law program, okay, there's a mock, you know, mock trial team or a team court class. What advice would you give, Frank, you know, especially because I know that, you know, that is a part of, you know, obviously when you become a lawyer, that's a part of the process that a lot of times, you know, you don't learn obviously until you get out in the practice of law and you have mentors. Talk about, you know, how, you know, you were educated in that particular area. And then I'm going to go to the students and talk about those teams at the school and what they're like.
Sure. The mock trial process is really good because it kind of gives you an idea, gives you a little taste of what it would really be like because you'll have your professor and you'll have other teachers or students or someone sitting in as the judge. You'll have another student, one of your students, you'll be on the plaintiff's side. One will be on the defendant or prosecution defendant, whatever the actual mock trial may be. But I always find that the most important thing is, this probably applies across the board, but be prepared. You know what your burden is, burden of proof. Know what, if you're defending someone, know what your burden is, know what you have to do to win that case on whatever side you are assigned. Because, you know, you can say, well, I would never be a public defender because I could never do that. Or I could never defend someone who could potentially be breaking the law. But what you do, the oath you take, is everyone deserves representation. Now, you never want to present anyone who's going to be untruthful. And if you know that, you are bound to not present any evidence that would be untruthful. But everyone deserves defense, and everyone has the right to an attorney. And that's part of the Miranda rights that you'll see. We were talking about law enforcement, and that's extremely important. So what you have to do, the most important thing, is understand your side, understand the burden of proof that you need to meet to win your claim or whatever it may be. So preparation is always the most important thing. And, you know, some people are more comfortable on their feet than others, and that comes with practice. Some people realize that, you know, I don't want to be a trial lawyer. This isn't for me. But there are so many areas of the law that once you are in law school, you know, it's 3 years. So you kind of, everyone that I knew in law school when they went in, very few people had the exact idea of what they wanted to do when they got out of law school and still did it. Everyone kind of, you know, you take different classes, it piques your interest, and, you know, it changes and you grow and you become more educated and you change along the way. So it's a good place to be to find out exactly what you want to do, kind of like high school or college, you know, what you have in mind or what you think it's going to be is never exactly what it is. And you learn a lot. You learn a lot about yourself and what your strengths are. So you kind of gravitate towards those things that are kind of in your wheelhouse.
And let me ask Denise, you talk about, we have on our list the mock trial team and the teen court class. Tell us a little bit about those, if you would, Denise.
Well, absolutely. So the students get to go out and, you know, I was chatting with the students before we got on about, you know, the mock competition, and they don't know what their roles are yet this year. So they get to choose different roles, or they get to put in for different roles, but it's a case, and each of the students get to choose a role. And both of the students were just telling me that they want to be prosecutors. Hmm. And I kind of asked why, and one of the, I guess they both kind of were unanimous about this. They feel like the prosecutor really is a problem solver. Like they faced with the problem and how to problem solve. But both of them also talked about communication skills. And Sean especially said this is really helping him, you know, you're helping you with your communication skills and able to speak professionally and able to, communicate in a more effective and efficient manner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Sean, if you would elaborate on that a little bit, because – you know, although you may not go to college or you may not become a lawyer, if you do, and by the way, there's a good chance there's a lot of directions you're going to make a decision on. These things may expose you to something that, you know, helps point you in that direction. How have these experiences, okay, and, you know, with the law class or you're getting the opportunity to be a part of a real trial, which, by the way, it's possible you will if you're jury duty and a lot of those things someday. But talk about some of the benefits that you may be able to pick up, whether you go to law school or you go to college, or not in this program.
Being able to speak more professionally to people of maybe like a higher group. So maybe if you want a job, you want to write way better than, I guess, someone on middle school level, because people now are still writing at a very low level, and being able to write at or just speak in general higher levels of, like, I guess, you know, vocabulary.
Sure.
And I think, Joe, let me jump in here. I think those are all really employable skills. So no matter what Sean or Sage or any of our listeners are doing right now, I mean, those are employable skills. What? I mean, you want to be able to communicate effectively, right? You want to be able to problem solve. I mean, those are all great qualities that almost any work as a team, right, as they do in mock competition, work as a team, those are all super employable skills that any employer wants to hire somebody with those skills, correct?
Frank, talk about that, and I'll ask Alexis as well. A lot, you know, those, in a sense, or what do you call them, soft skills, where, you know, the ability to, learn to communicate in a professional manner, talk about the benefit of that, Frank. And even with, potential as a partner at Palma Hockey, even with potential new employees that come in, talk about the importance of those skills, whether it's at a law firm or not.
Absolutely. And those skills are, I think it's easy to see how those skills are invaluable in whatever career you may take. I think especially with the law, you know, what I was saying before, it helps you think on your feet, and I've been able to learn to process a tremendous amount of information in a very short amount of time and translate that to my particular case or whatever I needed to do in court at the time. But those skills themselves are, those are important skills for any career path that you end up taking. I think one of the things that is most valuable is it teaches you to, when I was saying, understand, be prepared, understand your burden of proof in the law, burden of proof. What do I need to do to get to A to Z to win my claim? That's true in anything. You have to, and it teaches you to think logically, because I'm not going to do anything that is unnecessary, a waste of time, or off the path. I need to know exactly what I need to do in the time I have allotted, and it helps you think logically and move from one point to another, and not, like I said, not waste any time or any effort that is unnecessary. I think all those things are important in any career.
And let me ask Alexis, even with the job application process or the job interview, the soft skills, you have gotten some pretty damn good jobs, okay? And, talk about the importance of that interview, okay? The ability to communicate, okay? And have them soft skills, look somebody in the eye, shake their hand, and speak with confidence.
Yeah, definitely. I think, to piggyback off of what Frank is saying, and also Sean did mention that he might not want to go to college, and I think in today's society, everybody is pressuring you to go to college, and you don't, in my opinion, just my opinion, I don't think that you need a college degree to succeed in this world, to make the amount of money that you want to make to live a great life. I think that it really does depend off of the skills that you have. Like we were just talking about with an interview, if you speak properly and you use the proper language and communication and you come off strong, you could really compare better to someone that has a degree, let's say, from like Harvard. Like, I don't have a degree from Harvard, but I could be, I'm trying to think of the word.
You might interview
excelling,
better.
Exactly. So they could look better than me on paper, but in person, it's like, I might be better.
And
with my skills. So I think it really depends on how you present yourself, how you speak, and really going off of your experience in life.
And Denise, talk about the soft skills that they learn.
Well, there's so many soft skills. I mean, even being able to talk to you right now, right? Even being able to show up, to have composure. All of those things are, if they met you in person, they walked up to me, introduced themselves, shook my hand, looked me in the eye. Those are really important soft skills. Yeah. That not every high school student really is able to utilize or works on. I know my own children, they didn't work on that when they're in high school. But when you are in an academy program like here at Lincoln High School, and I do want to give out a quick shout out to our AP Jade McCray, who set this up, and also Principal Dr. Nelson. I mean, they're passionate about students really honing their professional skills and these soft skills. They want all students to be able to walk out of Abraham Lincoln High School with the ability to, to have these soft skills and hone them. And that's why we have programs like this or internships or career explorations or work-based learning. We're always looking for opportunities for the students to go out because learning and growing doesn't just occur inside the classroom. Learning and growing occurs doing work-based learning like this, and that's important. That's just as important as your math and your science and your social studies. But yes, being able to speak I just think you put it all together, and you've got students that are going to be successful and great for our Philadelphia.
Absolutely.
For the workforce.
And Alexis wants to jump in there for a second.
Yeah, I just think it's a great program because, like you said, you know, school teaches you your basic subjects, but college doesn't teach you those skills that you need to know in a corporate environment. So, like, when you're thrown after college, when you're thrown into this environment, you're not taught those skills in college. So I think that this program is great because it's teaching young individuals how to be prepared for this environment.
Let me ask Sean and Sage about your mentors, okay, and people you look up to. Sean, anybody in particular that has mentored you or somebody who's impactful in your life, whether it's a family member or a teacher or a friend?
I'd like to say my mom. Probably the best choice. I mean, she gave birth to me. She kept me. She feeds me. She keeps me.
Does she do you talk to her?
Yeah.
She keeps them on track, right?
Yeah. I'm respectful. I don't do anything bad that'll hurt her, hurt myself. I make sure she knows what I'm doing.
That's awesome.
I make sure I would never wrong her. She would never wrong me, and we're both on that understanding very much.
Well, I'll tell you, whatever she's doing it right, because that kind of answer is a dream answer, obviously, for a parent, and it's beautiful to hear that. Sage, if you will, mentors?
My best friend. She's been my best friend since kindergarten. I don't really have a good relationship with my parents, and I really never did. Like I said, I don't know my mom, and my dad really isn't the best. So my best friend kind of keeps me on track, helps me with my mental, helps me to stay calm in certain situations where I know I'm going to flip out.
And by the way, I mean, it's so incredible to have a friend like that. I can go into my best friend and he was my best friend since sophomore year in high school. God rest his soul. I miss him every day. And so there was nothing, man, nothing that'll replace that. Frank, we only have a couple minutes left, but how about in your world, in your career, mentors, people who have impacted your career?
Yeah, I've had a lot. One of the a friend of mine who I actually played football with in high school. I think he ended up going to Colgate and kind of fell out of touch for a little while. It turned out that he was a lawyer in Pennsylvania, and he actually worked for a defense firm in workers' compensation. So I ended up meeting with him, and his firm was up in Lehigh Valley, and they were opening their first Philadelphia office. It was actually in Bluebell, Pennsylvania, but I was the first attorney hired by this firm when they were opening their satellite office in Bluebell, and it was because of the connections that I had made over the years and stayed in touch with friends. And the two managing partners of that office kind of took me under their wing because I was literally out of law school. So, you know, I followed them and learned from them. So they were really, really important mentors in my life. But, you know, a lot of times connections you make along the way or friendships, continue to foster those friendships. And you never know when you cross paths again, you may end up being in a similar same field, something that you're interested in.
So it's interesting. We only have about a minute left. Anybody real quick, Alexis, a mentor, somebody you look up to has impacted your career?
I would say my mom, honestly. She's just the best, and she showed me, you know, what to do and how to do it. And also, to piggyback off of Sage, my best friend as well. I'm 30, and I have a best friend since I was 5 in kindergarten.
That's
and
awesome.
She's incredible. It kind of reminded me of when you were talking, Sage, about my best friend. So that's super important that you have that. Keep her around.
Absolutely. Listen, we have a minute left. Okay. I'm going to go to Frank real quick. Frank, contact information. Anybody wants to get in touch?
You can go directly to pileyhockey.com. Our phone number is 215-568-7500. You can email me directly or ask for me directly, and I will get back with you same day.
fantastic. Alexis, if you will.
Yeah, our website's WeinermanPaintAndWellness.com, or you can call me directly, 484-356-6666.
Awesome. Listen, I want to thank everybody for joining us on our Spark and June special. We want to thank Sage Jackson. We want to thank Sean Broadnax. And, of course, Miss Newman. We didn't mention Miss Newman. We appreciate what she does. We want to thank Denise Magasich for making it happen. Of course, Tyler in our producer's booth. And of course, Frank Soprero, Dr. Weinerman, of course, and Alexis Crandall. You know, it's been a fantastic broadcast. We can't wait to have Sage and Sean in the studio. On behalf of all of our guests and all of our listeners, I'm Joe Dougherty. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Happy Monday.